right, though. The following program, The Russ Belleville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belleville Show are their own, and The Russ Belleville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belleville.
We love the air.
All right, good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome to the show. It is Friday, May 30th, 2014, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world, and it's also got to be one of the best days ever in marijuana law reform, folks, because at the United States House, they have passed the Rohrabacher-Farr Amendment. This is the amendment that would defund the Department of Justice from interfering in medical marijuana laws in the states that have made it legal. We are so excited about this news. We'll tell you about it in our 420 headline news, as well as our behind the headlines segment. We are really looking forward to that. It is a day for celebration in the cannabis community. Also on today's show, we've got a visit from Bradley Steinman, an activist turned defense attorney here in Portland, Oregon. We'll talk to him about his background and what he sees moving forward for legalization and his work in the state of Oregon to reform marijuana laws. Also, we'll have time for a radical rant at the end of the show. We're going to tell you why we're pissed off about piss testing. It seems that still some people don't understand why drug testing is so offensive to us. We'll talk about that in the radical rant. Also on the show today, we'll have time for our daily toker tunes. Our last time that we're going to have daily toker tunes here in this first hour. We are moving daily toker tunes to hour two starting next week. So you'll get your music break at 4:20 Pacific instead of 3:20 Pacific. So Herb Thrasher joins us for the Rockin' Friday daily toker tunes. He's going to send us out on the Russ Belleville Show with some music by Fifth on the Floor. And he'll tell us all about those guys when we get to him in daily toker tunes. But first we'll get to the 4:20 headline news. In addition to having that great news coming out of the United States House, we've got news from the Denver County Fair, a DUI trial in Long Island that has shocked the local media. We've got people giving away weed from the Bay Area all the way to Seattle, Washington, and Fresno's getting sued by the ACLU. And in Montana, activists are going to collect signatures to repeal medical marijuana. I'll tell you all about that in the news coming up next here on the Russ Belleville Show. The Russ Belleville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. Hey, tokers and tokettes, Radical Russ here to introduce you to my friend Matt and all the staff at Lush LED Lighting. Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. If you thought LEDs were... meet the tech of today. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Let's just say I appear at a lot of events with the masters of indoor horticulture, and the harvests I saw from Lush LED lighting were big, tight, sticky, and very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent ya. Double your rewards and lower your expenses with Lush LED Lighting. Four20 Radio, the world's voice of marijuana legalization. The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the best way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney, Omar Figueroa." Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at omarfigueroa.com. This is your 420 Radio News for Friday, May 30th, 2014. I'm Russ Belville. The United States House of Representatives has voted 219 to 189 in favor of defunding Department of Justice federal enforcement actions against medical marijuana states. This amendment effectively would end DEA raids against medical marijuana gardens and dispensaries, as well as U.S. attorney forfeiture and seizure threats against dispensary landlords and state officials implementing medical marijuana laws. We will provide more detail and analysis of this huge development in the Behind the Headlines right after the news. Anti-medical marijuana activists in Montana have been approved to gather signatures for an initiative to make all marijuana illegal again. Initiative 174 would amend Montana law to adopt the federal list of Schedule 1 substances as the state's official list, thereby effectively repealing the Montana Medical Marijuana Act passed in 2004. The act was repealed by the state legislature in 2011, only to be preserved by then-Governor Brian Schweitzer's veto. The legislature responded to the veto by severely curtailing the program, an act that passed into law without the governor's signature, and immediately decreased the medical marijuana patient registry from 30,000 to less than 10,000. The group, Safe Montana, needs to collect just under 25,000 signatures by June 20th to place the measure on the November ballot. Should the initiative pass, it would go into effect immediately, returning over 8,500 medical marijuana patients to criminal status. The city and county of Fresno, California are now facing a lawsuit from the American Civil Liberties Union over a countywide ban on marijuana cultivation. Despite a similar cultivation ban that was upheld by the courts in the city of Live Oak, the ACLU believes the Fresno case raises different questions that need to be adjudicated. Officials in Fresno cite the fear of violent crime linked to marijuana grows as the reason for their ban, but the ACLU believes that the ban violates the Compassionate Use Act, which allows patients to cultivate marijuana for medical purposes under a doctor's recommendation. The Weed Fairy is a huge hit in Seattle. Residents of Seattle's Capitol Hill neighborhood began discovering nuggets of marijuana bud taped to flyers. Using the Twitter account at DanksyAppleweed, a 23-year-old woman named Yenny Slidey gave the public clues as to where to find the flyers. Soon, successful treasure hunters began posting pictures of their finds and locations. The flyers read, quote, "These are tough times. Take this weed and keep your spirits high." Some marijuana activists are worried the weed could end up in the hands of children, but so far, there are no reports that it has. Another entity is poised to give away weed, but this time as an enticement to vote. The Silicon Valley Cannabis Coalition announced it would be providing a list of Bay Area dispensaries that will provide free marijuana to anyone who can prove they voted in next Tuesday's election. The coalition is targeting the mayor and open city council seats in San Jose, as well as the county sheriff's race. But such pot for voting schemes may be illegal under California law, which states that anyone who, quote, offers to make an expenditure to any person either to vote or withhold his vote or to vote for or against any candidate, end quote, is subject to fines and up to 2 years imprisonment. Lawyers for a driver involved in a fatal crash in Long Island argued in court today that frequent cannabis consumers develop a tolerance to its impairing effects. The 18-year-old defendant, ironically named Joseph Beer, is alleged to have been high on marijuana when he sped off the Southern Parkway at over 100 miles per hour, killing his four passengers who were all his childhood friends. Defense attorney Todd Greenberg told the jury, quote, "If you are a frequent user, you do build up a tolerance, and the marijuana has less effect on your cognitive abilities, which are the abilities you need to drive a car," end quote. Greenberg stresses that no one is defending driving while high, but that the charge of vehicular homicide is inappropriate for what was a reckless accident that would have happened even if Beer was sober. The Denver County Fair is canceling its beer pavilion and doubling the size of its marijuana pavilion. The fair has featured a marijuana pavilion for the past two events, though it is not any sort of open-air marijuana use or display situation. The pavilion features joint rolling contests with oregano, ribbons for best plants, as judged in private and shown publicly in pictures, best homemade bong, and other pot-friendly events open only to those aged 21 years and older. The events have become so popular that they are now the headline event of the Denver County Fair. This has been your 420 Radio News for Friday, May 30th, 2014. I'm Russ Belville. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available at our website at 420radio.org. Click the main icon to access the archives. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. When we come back, we'll take a deeper look at that Rohrabacher Farr Amendment, banning the government from policing medical marijuana states. We'll be right back.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you don't just want any attorney. You want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Lauren Vasquez knows the details of California marijuana law from both a personal and professional angle. Lauren Vasquez rose from the ranks of college normal activists to become one of the Bay Area's best marijuana lawyers. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your Fired Up Lawyer, or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com. The number again is 855-MMJ-LAWS, 855-665-5297 for your Fired Up Lawyer, Lauren Vasquez. Lauren Vasquez is an activist attorney you can trust. Call today.
I'm a reefer smoking man.
Woodpipe Smoke Shop and Speakeasy is your source for cannabis community gear in southern Wisconsin. Owners Brian and Tammy Wood are located in Kendall, just outside of Madison, and they've got everything for the smoking enthusiast, including a full assortment of pipes, water pipes, hookahs, bubblers, one-hitters, and so much more. They're open noon to 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday and can help you with your detoxification therapies as well. Call 608-466-7473 or email woodpipes@yahoo.com for more information. That's 608-466-7473 or email woodpipes@yahoo.com. And as always, go Pack Go! 420radio.org is proud to replay Drug Truth Network Cultural Baggage with Dean Becker from Houston, Texas. Pioneering marijuana radio activist Dean Becker continues his illustrious career interviewing reform luminaries on his Century of Lies and Cultural Baggage shows from Pacifica's KPFT in Houston. Catch the replays Wednesday at 11 Pacific on 420radio.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Quarter after, time for us to go behind the headlines on this historic vote in the United States House banning the federal government from policing the medical marijuana states. This was a huge win for us. This was a 219 to 189 vote in favor of the Rohrabacher-Farr Amendment. This is an amendment to the government's appropriation bill. And simply put, it just bars the U.S. Department of Justice from spending any of our taxpayer money to interfere with the people and businesses that are in compliance with the medical marijuana laws in now 22 states and the District of Columbia. Now, of course, the Department of Justice includes the Drug Enforcement Administration, so no more DEA raids of medical marijuana dispensaries and gardens. No more harassment and arrest of medical marijuana patients. Department of Justice also includes the U.S. Attorney's offices, so no more threatening U.S. attorney letters to governors who try to implement dispensary laws, and no more seizure threats against the landlords who rent to the dispensaries. The appropriations bill still must be heard by the Senate, which is likely to have its own funding scheme for the DEA. Then both versions would be heard by a conference committee, and the Rohrabacher-Farr Amendment would have to survive that in order to be signed into law by President Obama. So it's not a done deal yet, and you can bet that DEA Administrator Michelle Lenhart's going to be lobbying as many of those congresspeople as she can to strike that amendment. Still, this 219 to 189 vote stands as a milepost in how far federal acquiescence to the people's will for medical marijuana has come. The previous six times this amendment has been voted on, from 2003 to 2012, it failed with 165 or fewer yes votes and 259 or more no votes. Just looking at the 2012 vote compared to yesterday's vote, 163 yes votes became 219 yes votes. That's a swing of 56 votes, people. That's 1/8 of the House of Representatives. Now, today's amendment was truly bipartisan. It was offered up by 5 Republicans and 5 Democrats. Props go out to Representative Rohrabacher of California, Farr of California, Young of Alaska, Blumenauer of Oregon, my representative, McClintock of California, Cohen from Tennessee, Brown from Georgia, Polis from Colorado, Stockman from Texas, and Barbara Lee from California. This amendment was also promoted in the Daily Caller, which is one of those inside the Beltway type of publications. And it was co-written by Ethan Nadelman, the head of the Progressive Drug Policy Alliance, and Grover Norquist, the head of the Conservative Americans for Tax Reform. Unfortunately, the vote wasn't as bipartisan. Only 49 Republicans joined 170 Democrats to pass the amendment. Yet, those 49 Republicans represent a shift in medical marijuana on the right side of the aisle. Dan Riffle from Marijuana Policy Project gave me a statement. This measure passed because it received more support from Republicans than ever before. It is refreshing to see conservatives in Congress sticking to their conservative principles when it comes to marijuana policy. Republicans increasingly recognize that marijuana prohibition is a failed big government program that infringes on states' rights. End quote. And just a couple of other notes here. There were only 17 Democrats that voted against the Rohrabacher-Farr Amendment. One of those 17 was Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who represents a district in Florida, which is soon to have medical marijuana. So Floridians, you should know that one of your representatives voted to allow the federal government to come in and raid Florida once you guys pass medical marijuana. Also interesting to note, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the representative from Florida, is the head of the Democratic National Committee's DCCCCCCC campaign, whatever it is. It's the one where they try to fundraise. In fact, got an email from her today begging for some money for the Democratic Party. Gosh, Representative Wasserman Schultz, maybe you shouldn't have voted to allow the DEA to come and raid me and my friends here in the state of Oregon. Sorry, can't find my checkbook. Another point to note here, Kevin Sabet must be absolutely crestfallen over this vote in the House. He's gotten desperate, folks. Checking out his tweets, he sent some tweet out about it's sad that the House voted to voted to allow Colombian cartels to grow weed in the forests and the public parks. how desperate you have to be, Kevin. My goodness. See, what the amendment does is it doesn't allow the DEA to go after people following the medical marijuana law. So if you can find for us, Kevin, a medical marijuana law in any of the states that allows foreign nationals to come in and plant on public land, then your point makes some sense. But of course, it makes no sense because no state allows that. It's just more scaremongering from Kevin Sabet and the Learn About Project Sam crowd, much like the cries of the T-Rex as it sinks into the tar pits after the asteroid hit.
Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Mary, marijuana, do you wanna? Mary, do you wanna tonight?
As marijuana goes mainstream, you need to be armed with the facts. Nobody can teach you better than Dr. Mitch Earlywine, PhD. You may know Dr. Mitch from his column in High Times magazine or his weekly appearance on The Russ Belville Show. Dr. Mitch is also the author of some of the best books on marijuana science, culture, history, and health, including Understanding Marijuana, Parents' Guide to Marijuana, Pot Politics, and more. Visit Amazon.com and search for Mitch Earlywine, that's Earlywine, and order your books today. You can also contact Dr. Mitch by email at 420research@gmail.com.
Support the Russ Belville Show. Text the word RUSS to 420-420 and connect with the National Cannabis Coalition. You can also send $10 to the Russ Belville Show right from your smartphone. That's RUSS to 420-420.
In the afternoon, if I'm home, I smoke marijuana.
You're listening to Radical RUSS.
Oh,
on the Russ Belville Show.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Our marijuana laws are terribly unfair, and they make criminals out of law-abiding citizens. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges, and we are unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They are average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. And it's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Rockin' Friday, featuring rock, metal, and the hard edge of alternative country. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tune.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Time for us to get our Rockin' Friday on here. Unfortunately, Herb Thrasher can't be with us by phone today. His little daughter is sick, and he's playing Mr. Mom tonight, or today, I should say. But he'll be here tonight for the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour, and I understand we have an interview that we're doing. I just don't know who it is, unfortunately. He'll tell us, though, once we get going here tonight. Tonight's band, or today's band for our Rockin' Friday, is Kentucky-based. We're thinking about Kentucky lately because, of course, Kentucky just recently planted legal hemp and fought with the DEA to be able to get those hemp seeds to plant. So we're kind of celebrating Kentucky. Also, Herb wanted to let everyone know that Alabama versus Kentucky is the second round of the College Softball World Series that's happening tonight. I saw some of that at the gym the other day, and I understand the Oregon Ducks are the number one seed in that College Softball Double Elimination World Series tournament. And the band we've got is called Fifth on the Floor. And that's an interesting name for a band. I know Four on the Floor, but I don't know what Fifth on the Floor is. Maybe Herb can tell us about that tonight on the Flower Hour. But Fifth on the Floor is from Kentucky, and they've got a 2010 album called Dark and Bloody Ground that we're going to give you a track from right now. The tune is called Distant Memory Lane, and we've got a video for it. So let's just move on to that, and we'll see you on the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour tonight, 8 p.m. Pacific Time on 420 Radio.
Last night on a midnight train, cold rain like tears on my window pane. There's no game for a man, no one knows his name. My head's begging me for a cigarette, my eyes another line of cane. My heart's another memory on distant memory lane. I don't know nobody worth knowing these days, but my boots know every place, and it's a race to put some more lines on my face. I don't know no heaven, I don't know no hell, but either way I know I ain't gonna stay, 'cause my angel's another memory on distant memory lane. Rambling, rambling down distant memory lane. I know that I will never see you again. Lonesome, lonely, that lonesome midnight train. Your eyes are another memory on distant memory lane. Shade of gray. This damn train keeps moving, my heart keeps slipping away. I don't know what's ahead, but I know what's behind. A thousand miles in your smiling face, but that's just another memory on distant memory lane. Rambling, rambling down distant memory. Lonesome, lonely, that lonesome midnight train. Your eyes are another memory on distant memory lane.
Support the Russ Belville Show. Text the word RUSS to 420-420 and connect with the National Cannabis Coalition. You can also send $10 to the Russ Belville Show right from your smartphone. That's RUSS to 420-420. You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belville Show.
This is Radical Russ encouraging you to take a look at the Weed Blog every day. Johnny Green and the staff at the Weed Blog are on top of all the latest developments in the fight to end marijuana prohibition nationwide. You can even get the Weed Blog on your smartphone by installing the Weed Blog app for iPhone and Android. If it's about weed, it's on the Weed Blog, including my original writing. So don't delay. Read the Weed Blog today. 420radio.org presents the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour with Herb Thrasher and Radical Russ from Portland, Oregon. Herb Thrasher Flower Hour is 2 hours of unrestrained rock, metal, punk, and alt-country music, interviews, concert bootlegs, and sports with America's hardest-rocking marijuana activist stoner, Herb Thrasher. Live 2 hours Friday, 8 p.m. Pacific, with replays at 8 and 5 on Fridays and replays Saturday at 8 p.m. Pacific.
You want answers?
I was mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
So, you remember the whole controversy over Open Vape, the vape pen manufacturer that in April announced its policy of drug testing its employees? That was something we went over here on the show and expressed our extreme displeasure with it, and a lot of activists got involved, kind of pressured Open Vape to change their ways and to adopt impairment-based testing that Normal has championed for years. And, you know, kudos to them for that. That's a fantastic move. So glad that the company did the right thing. But in a recent press release that was gotten a hold of by the Denver Business Journal, I read an article in the Denver Business Journal yesterday where the public relations people for Open Vape are trying to, well, make a few, they're trying to kind of color how the history and how the breakdown of this situation went. And they're just trying to spin it. And I've always been, you know, someone who doesn't really like us getting spin. So I just had to, you know, bring up a few of the points that they did. In the PR release, they said, Mitchum said the company did not make the change to appease the advocates, but rather because it would have revisited the policy anyway. Really? Because the policy was announced in mid-April, and according to the press release, it said, feedback about the new policy from company employees has been positive. So what would have been the reason to revisit the policy? Other than the fact that a bunch of activists made a whole bunch of noise on Facebook and Twitter and blogs, got a lot of traffic on it, and started to make some pretty bad public relations for the brand and the company. That's what caused this change. This whitewashing to try to portray it as, oh, you know, we're all altruistic and we never really meant it. Come on, you really meant it. That policy would be still in place today if the activists hadn't come down hard on it. The second line of PR spin in the release said, Mitchum said the advocates made an assumption that Open Vape was going to do urine testing, but that the company never was. Nice try. What we did make remarks about piss testing, but the actual point being made this whole time was that testing employees for drugs, regardless of which method, is bad. And that's something very clear in their former policy, which I downloaded from them on April 16th. Quote, Open Vape employees may be asked to submit to a medical examination and or clinical testing for the presence of dangerous drugs. Open Vape reserves the right to examine and test for dangerous drugs at its discretion, end quote. So maybe they had planned to use hair testing instead of piss testing, but it's still testing. And in fact, hair testing is even worse. It's more discriminatory and more oppressive than urine testing. And it's racist. It discriminates against Mediterranean and African American people. So it seems like somebody's trying to cloud the issue here a little bit about what your actual policy was. And then the third line of PR spin that I didn't like is where he, you know, the journal explained how the PR spokesman initially responded with a Twitter war against some very prominent activists, calling them childish and not acting like grownups and not caring about workplace safety. You know, some pretty, you know, rough stuff, you know, in what's supposed to be a polite discussion. And in response to this, one of the lines in this PR release is, Mitchum said he was attacked personally and the very public debate caused him to get death threats. Oh, my stars and garters. I said something controversial on the internet and people made comments about it and sent me emails. Oh, dear. Come on, man. If you're going to be a PR representative for a company that's operating in such a controversial and exploding market as the cannabis market, the cannabis community, you're going to have to grow a little thicker skin than that. If I had a dollar for every negative thing that's been written about me on the internet, I could afford a different suit coat probably. So this is the problem, because he's not really distinguishing between the professional activists who helped to make this policy change and the internet trolls out there who are sending death threats and saying terrible things. This was a quote. Shortly after Open Vape changed the policy, Mitchum said, quote, if they had not acted with such reactive venom, I would have done it faster. Oh, so it's our fault here, right? See, you know, lump us all together and the reactive venom, the terrible death threats and awful things that were said by the trolls, lump that in with the activists and blame us. Gosh, we're such a good company and we're so altruistic that we would have, all right, we would have just revisited the policy on our own and would have changed it sooner if not for, oh, the terrible things they said. Give me a break. I came up through the corporate culture. I know PR spin when I see it, and I know a company that still doesn't get it. Now, I'm happy they've done the right thing, even if it if they are thinking they did it for the reasons they didn't. It doesn't matter how it happened. So I'm not trying necessarily to cut down Open Vape. I'm happy that they made the right call, okay? But this is a message to all the other companies out there, and not just in the cannabis community, but everywhere. And especially as marijuana is now cresting the majority support in this country, that you're going to have to learn is that we are pissed off about piss testing. And the reason why is because it is oppressive. It's a tool of oppression that is used to keep us in second-class citizenship. It's something I faced personally as an information technology professional who refused to take a piss test, that I had to take consultant jobs and temp jobs and trainer jobs for all my career, making far less money than I should have been making, having no 401k, having no health insurance, having nothing for retirement or disability or anything, living day by day because I had a principle that I was not going to give up my Fourth Amendment rights, my rights to privacy. There was no reason why my employer needed to know what the hell I am doing on off hours. So I lived that for a couple decades. Living with roommates, driving junker cars. And in every financial, economic, employment way, was treated like a second-class citizen, treated as someone not deserving of trust, not deserving of long-term commitment, someone not deserving of the salary and benefits commensurate with their skills and work ethic. So it's something I take quite personally, and so do a lot of us, and so do a lot of people out there who are cannabis consumers. And if you're not a cannabis consumer, or if you're not a consumer of other drugs, this is part of the thing with the Open Vape thing. They said, oh, our employees liked it because we're not going to initially test for cannabis. We're not going to test for cannabis. We're going to test for dangerous drugs. Well, some people use other dangerous drugs too, and it's not any of the company's business. But let's bring this back to cannabis, right? The reason that we're so pissed off about piss testing is it's a tool of oppression meant to keep a class of citizens down. So If you don't smoke pot, let me give you some analogies. Maybe you can wrap your mind around what we're feeling here. Imagine we're in a dystopian place where gay sex is punishable by jail and asset forfeiture. You know, like America, you know, a few decades back, not too long ago, like some, you know, Arabic countries, Muslim countries, right? If you're known to be gay or caught having gay sex, by God, that's punishable. We can put you in jail for a long time and take all your stuff.
So get that in your mind. Being gay is really illegal. Okay. Now imagine that there's a gay test, that there's a simple way of testing whether you're gay, right? I don't know what that test would be. Too many jokes I could make, but I'm not going to. Let's say there's a gay test and you fail that test and you're relegated to second-class citizenship. You're subject to losing housing benefits, to losing educational benefits, to having a criminal record because you failed the gay test. So no matter how much you are in the closet, no matter how much you try to pass, even if you're a virgin, it can detect that you're gay. So even if you don't engage in it for a long time, you go celibate for a while before the gay test, they can still detect it for weeks at a time. How would you feel about gay testing? How would that make you feel? That's how we feel about piss testing for pot smoke. That's how we feel. Now, I know some people would critique that. They'd say, Rust, come on. Smoking pot is a choice. Being gay, well, that's your identity. That's yourself. You're born gay. You're made that way, right? And of course, I concede that. Absolutely. However, having gay sex is a choice. You may have the desire and the wiring and the orientation to want gay sex, but having the act of committing gay sex is a choice you're making. Just like I have a desire for marijuana, I like its effect on me. It makes me feel good. It's part of my identity. But I choose to grab that joint or choose to grab that bong and light it up. Now, I know this is kind of a controversial point, so let's change it just a little bit. Let's not talk about it being a gay test. Let's talk about it being a Catholic test. Because nobody's born Catholic, despite what, you know, some folks might say. You're not born Catholic. You choose that. That's something in your mind. That's a sense of your identity that you choose, a way you choose to live, the type of people you choose to be around, the types of morals and ethics that you adopt, the way you view the world around you. Now, that's illegal. You can't be Catholic. And we have a Catholic test. We can find out for sure whether you're Catholic. Even if you don't really go to church that often, right? You don't go to Mass, right? Haven't gone to Mass in a month. We can still detect it, though. There's a Catholic test, and it's perfectly legal to discriminate against you, to not hire Catholics, to fire people for being Catholic. You lose your student loans. You lose everything for being Catholic. How would you feel as a Catholic about Catholic tests? Hell, how would you feel about it as an American? So if the idea of a gay test or a Catholic test for which there would be instituted legal discrimination pisses you off, now you're starting to understand how we feel about drug testing in the workplace, about drug testing for our kids to be able to go to school, about drug testing for every employment opportunity that might come our way. That's how we feel about it. We feel like this is a tool being used unfairly against us, completely ignoring the content of our character or the history of our work or the level of our talent and skills. Instead, because of our belonging to a particular class of people, we get openly discriminated against, and that's perfectly legal and it's perfectly fine. That's why we're pissed off about piss testing. There is no excuse for oppressing people in employment or anywhere else through drug testing. And it's more for some of us, this is an identity. Being a pot smoker for me is an identity. It's who I am. Just as much as being a Catholic is, you know, Scalia's identity. Just as much as being gay is Andrew Sullivan's identity. Being a pot smoker is my identity. But for other people, it's a religion. It's their actual faith system and the whole way they view the world. And for other people, marijuana patients, for some of them, it's a matter of life and death. For others, it's a matter of a life with comfort. And that's why we're so pissed off about piss testing. And that being pissed off transfers. It doesn't matter what other drug, you know, if you're not testing for cannabis, but then you're going to go test for other drugs. All we see is the tool of oppression being used. But this time, you know, I was not a trade unionist, so I didn't speak up. Right, they're not going after me now. So okay, the tool of oppression is fine, and that's not the way it works. So companies, especially cannabis companies, you better seriously think twice about instituting any sort of regime of testing hair or saliva or fingernails or piss or whatever they test for next. Blood, Can you imagine? It's probably coming soon. Blood tests at the workplace. We're pissed off about piss testing, and we're not going to shut up about it until every company out there adopts impairment testing for the safety-sensitive positions and just management skills for all the other positions. It seems pretty reasonable to the rest of us. All right, we got to take a break. Now, when we come back, we're kind of audibling here as far as the segments, obviously. When we come back, we're going to have our Government at Work segment. We're joined by Aaron Houston, longtime lobbyist and marijuana activist, advocate, and leader. He'll give us his take on the House amendment to defund DEA medical marijuana raids. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show. I'm Radical Russ. Stay tuned.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to The Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for baking pot brownies? The best destinations for a ganja getaway? How to hide herb in your car? Whether to grow your own? How precisely to legalize it? Or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place? Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times magazine has covered marijuana in all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook wove all of this collected wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history, profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more. This is truly, finally, the ultimate guide to green living.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with our Shoutcast stream for all internet-enabled media players. Go to rad-r.us/420shout or just click the Shoutcast icon below the live radio feed at 420.
One joint contains as much cancer-causing tar as four cigarettes. Marijuana, it's more harmful than we all thought.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
The Russ Belville Show reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while. Share. Reforming America's prohibition laws cannot happen without relentlessly and directly engaging our lawmakers and other elected officials. The Russ Belville Show keeps you on top of all the latest developments at the federal, state, and local level with our government at work.
All right, welcome back. It's nice to actually do this segment and to point out that the government actually did do some work. You know that Congress has shut down the government and refused to pass this, refused to pass that, but it's good now to be able to talk about the House of Representatives passing something positive with respect to our marijuana laws and our drug reform. And joining us to discuss this Rohrabacher-Farr amendment is Aaron Houston, longtime advocate, activist, and marijuana leader. Aaron, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. It's an exciting night to be here.
It sure is. You know, I was stumbling to get through your intro because I'm not exactly sure what your affiliation is now. Who are you working with?
Well, so I'm the strategist for Ghost Group, which is a private equity company in the marijuana technology space that owns Weedmaps, which is basically the Yelp of marijuana. So, you know, we're really a consumer-oriented company that aims to connect consumers with the best information possible about where they can find their weed in legal states and the sorts of strains that they would like and the best price available, that sort of thing. So Weed Maps is essentially the Yelp of marijuana, and I'm really proud to be working with Weed Maps and Ghost Group as their strategists as they move into this next phase of cannabis reform. It's a very, very exciting time.
Well, I'm happy to hear that you're working with these guys, because as we move from activism into cannabis, I just did a segment on this where it's important that the cannabis businesses and the people that are getting into this industry understand that it's more than just a commodity. There's kind of a culture and a history and a struggle that's been a part of the marijuana movement. And so to have someone like you who's come up through MPP and Students for Sensible Drug Policy, I think that's great. So kudos to the work you're doing, man.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. You know, one of the things I love about working with Weed Maps is that our founders and the people who run our company, Justin Hartfield, our founder, and others, you know, really understand this from a consumer level. They understand it in a way that most people don't. And frankly, most people who are getting into the cannabis business space right now don't understand it. And it's a socially responsible approach. You know, as you can see, they let me spend my time on helping with an amendment that would legalize medical marijuana for everybody. And it's not preferential to any industry or any company in particular. It's for the good of the cause. So, it's an honor to work with them, and honor to be a part of it. And it's great to be back on your show on such a really, it's a historic day here.
It sure is. And of course, the Twitter sphere is just ablaze with all of the different activists and activist groups tweeting out this information. I thought we'd get you on to talk maybe from a personal perspective on this, because you spent a lot of years lobbying right there on Capitol Hill. What do you think of this change? I mean, this is a 1/8 of the House of Representatives flipping their vote from 2012. That's pretty significant.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I mean, we're at the marijuana tipping point right now. We're near the peak of the marijuana tipping point right at this moment. As you noted, a significant number of representatives changed their votes. We had 49 Republican members of Congress casting their votes in favor of the amendment last night, including the chairman of the National Republican Congressional Committee, who's a member of leadership. And, other members of congressional leadership would be wise to follow his lead, because he recognized, as did 218 other members of Congress, that they would be on the wrong side of history if they did not support this amendment. And more elected officials are coming around to that position. They're coming around to that revelation. It's taken a while for the majority of Congress to catch up with the marijuana majority that is our country at this point, but we're finally getting there. And this was a historic step. It was truly monumental.
What do you think about the DNC fundraiser, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, one of the 17 Democrats to vote against this? And she's in Florida. They got like 88% polls for medical marijuana there. What's going on with Wasserman Schultz there?
She's clearly out of touch with the American people. She's clearly out of touch with the supermajority that supports allowing safe access for patients to a medicine that works for them. And the fact is, she's behind the times, and she's probably realizing that today based on her Twitter feed.
Well, I dumped a few into her Twitter feed too. So yeah, she's probably getting the message. Let's talk about the future of this now, because of course it's just gotten through the House, and everyone knows we're a bicameral government. We got to get through the Senate. So what happens in the Senate? Do they have a similar amendment process, or do they just have to okay this one? How does that work?
The amendment process in the Senate is significantly different than the amendment process in the House. In fact, the Senate operates on unanimous consent, by and large. So pretty much everything that goes through the Senate needs to be essentially vetted through leadership on both sides. Mm. With the House, that's a very different process. The House has extraordinarily different rules. It's the people's House. Under this bill, under the Commerce, Justice, Science bill we just saw passed last night, there was what was called an open rule, or a modified open rule, which allowed for amendments, and it allowed for any germane amendments to the bill. There are different restrictions in the Senate. There are different champions in the Senate. We've never seen the sort of vote in the Senate we saw in the House last night. And so where, you know, that was the seventh time the House of Representatives has voted on this amendment. The U.S. Senate has never voted on this amendment. So that needs to be factored into this calculation. However, we do have some strong advocates on the Senate side.
Okay. Now, when you said this has to be vetted by leadership, is that at the top, Harry Reid and Mitch McConnell, or is it committee level leaders, or how does that go?
Well, it's both, actually. They're in both the House and the Senate. The chairmen and chairman and woman, respectively, have tremendous influence over the process. So in the case of the House, we had Representative Frank Wolf, who was actually leading the opposition to the medical marijuana amendment, who ultimately lost, of course. And he's a Republican. On the Senate side, we have a Democrat, Barbara Minkowski from Maryland, who is the manager of the Senate bill for the Commerce, Justice, Science Appropriations. Unclear yet what that will look like on the Senate side, but we are cautiously optimistic.
All right. And that Frank Wolf, he's the one who just gave DEA, what was it, $35 million more than they asked for?
That is correct. He gave DEA $35 million more than the president's request. And he also, in a somewhat dramatic, melodramatic display, I would say, essentially, read off the names of fallen DEA agents, not realizing the irony of what he was saying. And Representative Jared Polis rightly called him out on his antics by asking how many of those DEA agents would have fallen if not for the government's insistence on continuing a failed policy of prohibition, of federal prohibition. And Frank Wolf had no answer to that, because there is no answer to that. The answer to it is that those agents would not have lost their lives if our country had not insisted over years with this disastrous status quo.
Mm-hmm. Other things happening up on the Hill. There was that vote previous on allowing VA doctors to be able to talk to their patients. Was this vote affected at all by the VA scandal that was going on at the same time?
I kind of doubt it. I don't think so in particular. I think it was probably a freestanding vote. Obviously, one never knows about these sorts of things and the many myriad influences on a representative or a senator at any given time. But I would say that it was a very helpful and logical harbinger for the vote that occurred last night, in the sense that it really brought home for representatives what they're voting on. It's either compassion for people who have sacrificed a lot, or it's, you know, voting to continue the status quo of punishing them for taking a medicine that works for them, just as Debbie Wasserman Schultz shamefully did last night.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Aaron Houston, working with the Ghost Group, was it called?
Yes, Ghost Group and Weed Maps.
With Ghost Group and Weed Maps, and a longtime activist and leader here in the marijuana movement and lobbyist in Washington, D.C. I'm sure a lot of the people that you had lobbied and talked to, some of them might have been the ones that changed their vote, and we're very happy that they did so. Aaron, we'll love to have you on the show again sometime. You give us some great insight here on Washington, D.C. And, of course, with a 202-420 number, you're perfect for our show.
Thanks so much, Russ, for having me on. I'm lucky to have both the role I have and the number I have.
Yeah. All right, man. Thank you again. And take it easy. And good luck in D.C. as far as the legalization initiative goes there. We'll talk to you about that sometime later.
I look forward to it. Thank you, sir.
All right. That's all the time we got for today. Thanks for joining us, everyone. Stay tuned for Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio. Our guest will be Bradley Steinman, from activist to defense lawyer. He'll tell us about his story and more. For everyone here at 420 Radio, I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
Take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it.